Angela, thank you so much
for having a chance for us
to come and see the Italian Cultural Center Museum. Your background, how did you start in museums
and specifically with this PhD museum? In interdisciplinary studies, specializing in Renaissance Italian decorative art, but Italian history had gone through my whole background. I'm not Italian. But I was hired, they had a project on the Italian internment, and that's what those objects are from. Those were the objects made in the internment camp. So I was hired for that, and then I became the curator of the gallery. And so I've been here since 2012, and it's been a real transition. One of the things that we've been working on is this idea of being Canadian. In 2014 and 15, we had projects through SFU about what is that to be second, third generation Italian Canadian? How do you identify with that? And one of the things that have come has come out of that is that the Italian community here, as it stood, a lot of the younger people felt that it embodied Italy of the 1950s, and in some regard it was a culture unto itself. And it was sort of separate from contemporary Italy. And so there was sort of this disconnect and how the young were identifying with being Italian as well as being multicultural. And the thing we're emphasizing in our programming here is that you're Italian, but you're also something else. So this idea, so what I've done over the years, as I said, I was hired to do that internment object exhibit, or look at the internment and that period of internment, because it really was this defining point where the Italian community in Vancouver in the 40s said, I am Italian and I'm Canadian. Before that, especially with Mussolini being in Italy, and before 35, Mussolini was considered a very good, you know, person and grateful for Italy. Italians were still identifying themselves by Italy. And with World War II, it became this defining moment of saying, yes, I'm Italian, but I'm also Canadian, and I'm taking Canadian citizenship. As I started in the gallery, the notion was we were and still are collecting an Italian archive. But increasingly, it seemed to be more this idea of something that we're preserving for the future. You know, you collect for the future, but it's not the thing that brings visitors into the gallery. We found that with those historic exhibits, you'd have maybe a nice opening, but the viewership would dwindle. It's actually the art shows that have been the thing that has grown the audience. Contemporary artists want to engage with the time culture. So here we have a contemporary exhibit of artists that are looking at Villa of the Mysteries. And there are universal themes that come out of Italian art that contemporary artists want to engage with. Whereas, you know, when we did the internment exhibit, it was really divisive. And I find historic exhibits of the Italian community very divisive because, for example, you'll have historic photos and someone will come in and say, you're prioritizing this part of the community over another part of the community. And as much as I enjoyed doing those exhibits, it really created this challenging time where you really did see the divisions in the community that were completely unanticipated.
What was the history of the development of the collection then? Clearly there were various
groups. That's right. There were people
putting things into the
exactly.
museum.
So it really started around 2008, and the idea was this, it was to be an immigrant exhibitions okay. into the community. And I wasn't here at the time. I started in 2012. They did an exhibit on Italian cyclists and that kind of thing. I found, for example, I did some community exhibits, and it just, as excited as people were for the history of the community, they weren't coming into the exhibits in large numbers. And we really felt within the Italian community that we need to integrate. There was a real sense of insularity. That generation that immigrated here really had this notion that the center was for them, and that they should come here and everything should be free, and that whatever they donated to the museum here would be on display permanently. And there really was that kind of disconnect with that. And, you know, if the center wanted to sustain itself, it had to engage with a larger community, that it's not just the handful of 20 Italian families. And also the nature of Vancouver has really, really shifted. And it's interesting because I've talked to a bunch of different immigrant groups, Polish, Lithuanian. What we've decided is what we're trying to do is actually, we have archives, but our centers aren't of that point where it's archivally, 100% archivally appropriate yet. Mm-hmm. And we're all in this very different stage as to where the community is going. So we're looking at resource sharing projects. Mm-hmm. This idea that, for example, I've been in discussion with SFU, our significant photo and document collection, specific people in the community that have significant archives, we would digitize them, bring them over to SFU for storage. And then as the communities developed and made that decision of, are they growing? Are we going to, because we've been in plans to expand. And if we do, then we'll create archivally appropriate storage facility. If not, it stays with SFU Special Collections, and then they make that decision. The families will have signing authority, and we like to do something along that line for other immigrant communities that have collections.
When you're talking about representation within the collection, what are some of the histories that members of the community are saying are lacking in the collections? What are some of the stories that
well,
feel aren't
the
being told?
Major one is, there's one figure in the Italian community that is particularly divisive. And there's he was a big judge in Vancouver, and he was a lawyer in the 30s and 40s, became a judge in the 60s and 70s. He died in the 80s. And he was in charge of, there's the Italian Male at Men's Club, the Confratellanza. He was a very strong, dominating person. He was against the building of the center. The Italian, yeah, no, it was really divisive. The Italian community had another center that they lost in the 40s. And he felt that, you know, if you didn't have the money up front, that you shouldn't be building another center. And he was a really polarizing figure, and he shows up in a lot of these photographs, and members even today in the Italian community aren't exactly happy. And some of them are and some of them aren't. So I found personally that when you do with specific to the Italian community, it always becomes problematic. When we did an exhibit with the University of Bologna, we had people coming in, the one woman in particular, and she'd been an MP, and she was like, I don't feel comfortable being in this room because of the photographs of this person. Angela Brinker was a very dominating personality and very divisive. I've done exhibitions. I did the history of pasta in Vancouver and restaurants, and that was a lot of fun. It's really the art shows that has the element of Italian cultural heritage. So it's been an interesting time. I look at the permanent collection as being something in the future, but it's not the thing that really brings people in. I'm really fascinated with Italian textile. That's something, because to me, you know, we don't have many documents about women, and it's textile that really does tell the story of the community.
Mm-hmm. What are some events, individuals, people within the Italian community that you feel eager to document at this moment?
Well, we did do that a few years ago, and it's we did put that on our website a few years ago. And it's really that case that a lot of these people are passing away, and that's the thing, that's the challenge. So we have done, you know, some interviews, we've put them online. We did, and they're online. When we had the internment project, they're on YouTube. We had some interviews with There weren't any internees left, but family members, people that were enemy aliens, and we did that with Toronto community there. In terms of getting that documentation, I'm really interested in looking at the religious aspect of the community. I got really fascinated. One of my specialties is textile, and I was really fascinated with how textile was one of the ways that community bridged that relationship with Italy, that they brought textile back when they came here from Italy and they made liturgical vestments. Also really fascinating that the first church, Italian church in Vancouver, now has a First Nations minister, and I wanted to emphasize that as well. So that's the thing that I'm really looking at, is those things with like textile, how it tells the story of the community. We did an exhibit at the Chinese Cultural Center, participated in a textile exhibit, and then there was a textile conference here in 2018, looking at the ritual cycles of the Italian community through textile, birth, death, the rituals of the community, you know, the men's clubs, they have this scapula that they wear, and you can really trace sort of the life cycle of the community by the textiles that they create. I think one of the most intriguing ways to show a history of community is by taking one kind of genre of material culture and just see how it morphs its way through the community. And so textile, for me, is one of those things that I think is just an amazing way to record the history, and because it's all about women too, and we have so few documents for women.
How do you go about building a theme or an idea, well, such as this art show?
Right, yeah. I look at each exhibit having three elements to it. I really like this idea of non-linear time, in some regard, where you can incorporate three periods of time. We did a show called Women's Work when the textile conference was here in 2018, and I gave a paper on textile in the community. And one of the things that we focused on was we started with Italian Renaissance paintings, reproductions of those, and there were 17 artists in the show. Each artist, we selected an Italian painting or sculpture that featured a female-centered theme there, childbirth, marriage, religious, you know, a saint, that kind of thing. It was all textile artists, and then they would reconstruct it. It was all contemporary artists that are looking at this Italian painting and doing a representation of that in a contemporary setting. And then we also had, because it was a textile exhibit, we had textiles that were from and created by women in the Italian community. There's this reference to, you know, immigrant women and women in the Italian community, the textiles that they were making at the time of immigration. Then there is the other layer, which are contemporary artists who are interacting and examining Italian paintings, but looking at women in the Italian community and interpreting them from their own perspective, doing a lot of research and coming to terms with that historical investigation about women in a different time. So we're looking at the Villa of the Mysteries, an iconic, it's all women going through a ritual from the villa at Pompeii. Mm-hmm. These are the paintings that are on the wall, and it is a representation of the god Dionysus and these women going through a ritual. And it's very well preserved. Contemporary artists are engaging with that, but also that these objects were made during COVID. So we're looking at how COVID has affected the community, and of course, it affected Italy and the Italian community just immeasurably.
Looking at the collection, what are some of its strengths?
I mentioned we're looking at this resource sharing project with Simon Fraser. I really feel we're planning to redevelop at some point, so then we would do a more thorough bringing together of our permanent collections. I'm telling people that until we do redevelop, it's a better idea to keep your collection at home until we have the absolute archivally appropriate facility. And so I'm thinking Simon Fraser, until we redevelop, that would be what we're looking at. We're digitizing Ray Kulas's collection. It's all there in the office. And I really want to focus on one collection at a time, because really what I've seen is that it's great to have individual people donate individual items. But when you have a major collection that someone who has really intimate knowledge in the community has taken a lifetime to record, that taken documents that his parents, who were core to the Italian community, and he has all of these documents, and that's the thing that I feel I'm most proud of in that collection, is you have one individual, and that collection not only is a history of the community, but it's also the history of his life. The really satisfying thing as a historian, because you're not just dealing with historical artifacts, you're dealing with the collector and his personality, what he chose to be important. I really feel that as material culture historians, we need to know a lot about human psychology. I really feel that, because I'm always fascinated what makes the cut with what is deemed preservable, and it's really often those individuals that have said, you know, for whatever reason, they have a knee-jerk reaction, a connection to something, and it's always, you trace some psychological thing. This man, Ray Kulas, his collection, he had a deep relationship with his father. His father had some health issues. His father wasn't able to work. He said, Ray, who has the collection, said one day, well, why don't you write the history of the community? So Ray ended up preserving what his father was using for creating that history of the community. So that's what I find so fascinating, because it really is like this snowball effect of material culture. You have the items. You have the items with the history. Then you have the items of how they got preserved, and then you got the personality that did the preserving, that, you know, is basically the gatekeeper with regard to what is important and not important, and they've made all those decisions. And you know, it was interesting, because when I first started here and people were bringing in things like Bibles, I had someone say on the museum committee, say to me, well, you've got one Bible, why would you need any more? One Bible's representative. And of course, I come from medieval Renaissance Italian background, and it's like, no, like each Bible is infinite. It tells the story of the family. And you look in the Bible, and in the pages, you have all of these prayer cards from baptisms they went to, communions, their own personal saint that they had an affinity for. It's infinite. So if you make that decision, well, we're only going to have one Bible from 1920, then you've really shut the door on a whole massive insight into community.
What's in store for the center, for the museum, 5 years out, 10 years out?
5 years out, I'm always looking at growth. I feel that we're in this kind of privileged place. The center has the whole 3 acres of land here. I'm really looking at bringing in all of these arts groups, because there's so many what I call orphaned arts groups. They don't have a home. And so as the center grows and, you know, Vancouver changes, it's about making this a focal center for the other arts groups, because we have so much space. I'm looking at the permanent collection as being this long-term thing, whereas it's the art exhibits that really bring in that community. So I'm looking at growth on both levels.
Do you feel that your engagement with more contemporary projects is changing your perspective or affecting the archive?
It is in many ways. And it's the fact that, well, first off, the archive gets kind of secondary status. And that really changes the perspective of that, because it's working on that is kind of like a slow burn, you know, whereas I do 4 shows a year. That's, you know, a lot of work just on curating, working with the artists. And so the permanent collection becomes like, I hired the summer student from last year. And so I'm trying to break it down into very small, manageable parts of the collection. What is really important? Well, Ray Kulas's collection is the most important. So just trying to break it down. And a lot of the people that have immigrated from Italy, their cultural congealment of Italy is at a specific moment in time. And in fact, Fellini, his whole movies are all about that, where memory is something that you can never reconstruct, and it's always based on your own projection. Mm-hmm. So as the historian, you know, representing Italian culture, that's always something that I have to deal with, because what is Italy to that community? And that's a big challenge.
Well, we look forward to some more exhibitions that explore those questions.
Yeah. So,
Angela, thank you very
much.
Thank
you. Thank